16 years ago, our family was gathered around the dinner table. And for those of you who are a good bit younger than I am, we had phones in our houses that were connected to the walls by cords. And I don't know about y'all, but most houses I know have had one in their kitchen, because that's where people were all the time. So we were gathered around the dinner table. It was a Saturday evening. I was a seminary student, and I was active in the Presbyterian church, and I was trying to get ordained, and the Presbyterians would not ordain LGBT people at that time, but I had a very supportive church for the most part. And we had the opportunity to have visit our church on the next Sunday morning a woman named Janie Spar, who's an amazing out lesbian who was out way before it was safe, way before it was trendy, and who was traveling the United States talking to Presbyterian congregations about welcoming all people and about ordination for those who are called and who should be ordained. So Janie was going to be in town, and I invited her to talk to our Sunday school class. Not to come to the whole church, because my goodness, she was a lesbian, but to come talk to our Sunday school, our adult Sunday school class on Sunday morning. So here it was, Saturday afternoon. We were all gathered around the dinner table. The phone rang, and I got up to answer the phone. Don't judge. I got up to answer the phone and talked for a moment. And what I was hearing, well, my family couldn't hear, but what I was hearing was one of the members of the session of the church, one of the elders, telling me that I had to uninvite Janie Spar from talking to our Sunday school class because our church had not made a decision yet about where the church stood on ordination for LGBT people. So I'm having this conversation with this elder, and one of the kids says, "Who are you talking to?" And the other kid said, "It must be the church, because Mama's crying. It must be the church, because Mama's crying." How to make atheists. The literal definition of atheist is a person who does not believe in the existence of a god or any gods. The vast majority of U.S. atheists say they do not believe in God or in a higher power or in a spiritual force of any kind. Overall, 10% of the American population shares this view. At the same time, I thought this was interesting, roughly 1 in 5 self-described atheists, so that's about 20%, say they do believe in some kind of higher power. None of the atheists who were interviewed, though, said that they believe in God as God is described in the Bible. The vast majority of U.S. atheists say religion is not too important or important at all in their lives, and 97% say that they seldom or never pray. At the same time, they do not see a conflict between their atheism and pondering their place in the world. About a third of American atheists say they think about the meaning of and purpose of life at least weekly, and that they often feel a deep sense of spiritual peace and well-being. In many cases, it seems, being an atheist isn't just about personally rejecting religious labels and beliefs, but it's also about having a negative view of the role of religion in society. 7 in 10 U.S. atheists say religion's influence is declining in American public life, and that that is a good thing. A majority of atheists, 70%, also say churches and other religious organizations do more harm than good in society. And 93% of them say religious institutions have too much influence on U.S. politics. Most Americans, and this is all, 56% of most Americans say it is not necessary to believe in God to be moral, while 42% say belief in God is necessary to have good values. Here's what's interesting to me. Atheists may not believe in God, but according to a new study from the University of California, Berkeley, it appears that atheists and agnostics are more willing to help other people than those who identify themselves as religious. Why would that be? Well, we have a pretty good idea, right? The atheists say that often the religious people are less motivated by care and compassion and more motivated by doctrine, their community identity, or reputational concerns. All right, how to make atheists? Well, let's go back to the scripture. It gives us a pretty good idea. Let's go back to the scripture, and I'll tell you how to make atheists. First, the churches seem cold and judgmental. Do you remember the scripture? When Jesus saw this woman who had been crippled for 18 years come into the synagogue where the religious people were gathered, he saw her and he called to her, "Woman, you are free from your ailment." And we have reason to believe she stood up. She was whole. But the leader of the synagogue, the religious leader, was indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath. Now, there is a rule about that. You are not supposed to work on the Sabbath. So he takes immediate offense. How dare Jesus heal this woman? And then this is where you got to read carefully. He doesn't say, "Jesus, you know better than anybody that you're not supposed to do work on the Sabbath and healing is work." No. He speaks to the crowd like Jesus in there. "You all people here, you know that it's not right to heal on the Sabbath." We get so caught up in our rules sometimes. No, not this particular rule, but rules about how things should be done. We have our old tapes. We have, you know, God's word on stone tablets and in Bibles and everything. We know what God says, and we're not supposed to break those rules. Very often, we're like the leader in that synagogue saying, "God, we got you on record saying not to do this. Don't come along and be wishy-washy on us. We need some standards." We can make atheists pretty easily by being tied up in our rules and our doctrine. Another way to make atheists is when we have forgotten about following Jesus. Consider all the things that we in the religious establishment sometimes think are important. And compare that to Jesus' healing of the woman in the synagogue. He sees her suffering, and he says, "You are free from your ailment." He did not ask any of these questions. Have you been baptized? Do you know who I am? Are you repentant of the sins that caused this crippling disease in your body? Because that's where they thought the sin came, the crippling disease came from, that all disease came from sin. He didn't ask her that. How did you vote in the last election? He didn't ask her that. Have you ever had a sexual relationship outside of a legal marriage? Didn't ask her that. If I give you this gift of healing, will you promise to use it only in the service of God and promise not to use it in the pursuit of any immoral pleasure like sexual pleasure? Jesus didn't ask, "Do you promise to become a productive member of the synagogue after this? You promise to make me glad every day that I took a chance on helping you because you will respond in a way that lets me know how grateful you are?" None of that. We make atheists when we allow our church teachings to become simplistic and shallow. Another study of why people leave the church, especially young people, is that they say that what they hear in church is boring and that it has nothing to do with their lives, their careers, their interests, their families. Many of them, and this goes counter to what culture is telling us, many of them say the Bible is not taught clearly enough in my church. Didn't think he'd hear that from young people, right? The Bible is not, but that's what a quarter of them say. One-fifth of young adults who attended church as a teenager said, "God seems missing from my church experience." How else do we make atheists? Well, when the church is antagonistic towards science. That's one of the number one reason that people give for why they have no use for the church. The church seems antagonistic towards science. This is not something new. This is not something we're just now hearing for the first time. I want to share with you some words from Harry Emerson Fosdick, who lived from 1878 to 1969. He was an American pastor. And this is what he said way back in the early 1900s. "Science treats a young person's mind as if it were really important. A scientist says to a young person, 'Come study with us. See what we already have seen, and then look further to see more.' For science is an intellectual adventure for the truth." Can you imagine, Fosdick said, anyone who is worthwhile turning from that call of science to the call of the church, where the church seems to say, "Come, and we will feed you opinions with a spoon. These prescribed opinions we will give you in advance of your thinking. Now think, but only so as to reach these results." it is so easy to make atheist. When the church says we're sinners bound for hell if we're LGBT. When the church says we can't lead if we're women. When the church talks simplistically about things like purity codes and saving yourself from marriage and life is sacred from the moment of conception, or honestly in some teachings before conception, and we don't allow any room to discuss it, to debate it, to make mistakes. Sometimes the church ignores science as though the only science textbook ever written or needed was the Bible. And yet, here we are. Churches seem cold and judgmental, but God heals. People experience it. People feel it, right? 12 steps are successful in part because of helping people understand we don't care what you call it or how you acknowledge it, but there is something beyond ourselves. There is a higher power. It's easy to make atheists because we've forgotten about following Jesus, but that doesn't mean Jesus has stopped doing his thing. There's a interpretation of a poem by Hafiz. The poem is called The Sandalwood Tree. Let me just share with you this short poem, because it's the antithesis of the story about healing the woman and the church being incensed. The sandalwood tree shares its lovely scent with anyone who comes near. God is like that. Does the tree ever think to itself, I am not going to offer my fragrance to that man over there because of what he did last night? Or to that woman who neglected her child? Or because of what we might ever have done? It is not the way of God to hoard. God is simply just there, emanating freely what God is. If we wish to grab a handful or fill the basket in the eye. Don't hold back, have no reservations, take full advantage of his attributes, exploit his nature and that tender part of his soul. Church teachings are simplistic and shallow, and that's part of how we make atheists. Actually, they're not. But we're allowing the simplistic and the shallow to dominate the discussions. If you read News and Notes this week, and I know you didn't, but I'm still hoping that you do. I brought up a maxim that I learned when I was young and I was in sports. Offense sells tickets, but defense wins championships. And I talked about how often those of us with a progressive theology, with an understanding of God that's huge and immense and bigger than all of us, we often get caught on our heels sort of playing defense against the people that want to tell the world God is judgmental and God is angry and God is coming and you're going to spend eternity in a place hotter than Texas. We need to, there is a place, who's it? We need to play offense sometimes. To talk about the truth of God as we understand it, not just to defend our truth against another truth, but to actually get out there and share the good news. And finally, it's easy to make atheists when the church is antagonistic towards science. I must have been experiencing a moment of grandiosity when I came up with the title for today's sermon. How to Make Atheist. Here's what I was confronted by all week. I cannot make an atheist. The church cannot make an atheist any more than we can make believers. The church cannot make atheists, especially when it comes to science. Have you seen the pictures? The Cartwheel Galaxy. The pillars of creation. I love the story about God forming human beings from the earth. But I also love the story of being part of this, of a God of creation that knows no bounds, that we can never measure, never put in a box. We're not going to make atheists, folks. We're just going to make people who can't stand the church. And that's going to make it really, really hard for us to share the good news that we understand deeply. That God, who created us good, and loves us unconditionally, even when we make mistakes, like turning people away from the church. The good news is that we cannot make atheists. The challenge is to stop trying. Amen.